Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We've just been informed that, unfortunately, Nurse Guthman will not be able to join us. But don't you fear, because I am still here with each and every one of you. Join our conversation for the next half hour, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Here's the interesting thing. Because as we were talking about the shutdown, as we were dissecting Donald Trump, his Truthy Social, the Fox News lies about the Walmart Thanksgiving box dinner, and the fact that it actually does not reflect any decrease in consumable prices, just lower quality, lower quantity stuff, I think it is incredibly important to point out, and I want to thank Greg, who is one of my producers on this program, for sharing this factoid with us, because the context here is really important. The Walton family, the owners of Walmart, their net worth went up by $28 billion, as I understand it, through the end of September in this year. Their total family net worth is somewhere in the ballpark of $430 to $450 billion. And as a reminder, if you spent $10 million a day for over 125 years, you would not spend $432 billion. That's the way the math works. And so, you know, who made out like bandits with the brutal bill and the Trump welfare for the wealthiest in his first administration? The Waltons did. Elon Musk did. Jeff Bezos did. George Soros did. And if the big brutal bill, let's just say hypothetically, that it maintained funding and merely increased the efficiency in programs like Medicare, Medicaid, SNAP, veterans benefits, Head Start, etc., I still would not support it with tax cuts, with welfare for the wealthiest. If the big brutal bill instead, in a beautiful way, as it claimed to be, would have provided tax cuts for the bottom 70% of income earners in this country, which are the vast majority, near 90% of all small business owners. If it would have done that and actually instituted small to incremental medium style policy changes to Medicare, Medicaid, SNAP, VA, what have you, to actually make those more efficient programs without forcing people who are duly entitled to those benefits off of those benefit rolls, then I could have supported a beautiful bill like that. But that's never been, at least in the last 50 plus years since Richard Nixon, that is not what Republicans do. So the through line between talking about the shutdown, talking about the SNAP benefits in the first half hour of today, and my support, somewhat begrudgingly, because it is a compromise position, of what Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, on behalf of all Senate Democrats, put forward today to agree to fund government. If Republicans compromise and agree to restore the tax credits and subsidies for insurance under the ACA, why I support that? What is all of this about? This is all about what is the proper function and role of government? How do we pay for it? Who should pay more than other people? And if you strip all of the partisanship away, the fundamental message that excuses or is the fig leaf by which the MAGA movement excuses taking food out of people's mouths, shoving babies out of Head Start and young children out of the Head Start program, slashing veterans benefits, cutting Medicare and Medicaid by nearly $1 trillion each, that will harm people that you know and love by making it harder for working people to continue to work and improve their family's situation to try to achieve success. All of that that fig leaf gets trussed up is fundamentally about a message of people that need help don't deserve help. So I want us to think pretty deeply about the concept of deserve. I've talked about this before. You talk to any wealth manager who deals with people who either started a business, were very successful, or deals with their kids, their grandkids, and their great-grandkids. Again, wealth management. And they will tell you that the problems don't exist with the original folks that started the business and put their blood, sweat, and tears into it and built themselves a fortune. The problems arise with the subsequent generations who screw up the business but think they're entitled to all the wealth and or don't work at all and think they're entitled to a life of leisure and perpetuity. I don't know anyone who is struggling financially who is not working or doesn't want to work. The only people that I have ever known that have lived life of leisure is when I have happened to brush up against people with extraordinary wealth, inherited wealth. So tell me about deserve. Don't people in our state, in our families, in our communities deserve the government to provide some help when they are struggling? Why does the great, great, great grandchild of Rockefeller, who created monopolies and all kinds of anti-capitalist, anti-competition cheats within the system back in the Gilded Age, which is what Donald Trump wants to take us back to, why does the great, 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 great grandkid not get to work at all, ever? That's not deserving to me. Isn't there some point at some level of wealth where we say, that might actually create incentives and behaviors that we, most of us, the vast majority of us, don't think are good things? Laziness, entitlement, snobbery, looking down on other people who might not have the accident of birth that provides them with a lifetime of ultra wealth and complete leisure. Isn't there some level, some dollar amount where you're like, I don't know. As it stands today, a married couple can pass nearly $25 million of wealth to their kids without paying a penny in tax on it. It's like 27 some odd million now. Holy cow, $27 million, not a penny of tax on it? Tell me how those kids deserve $27 million without a penny of tax on it. Explain that to me. I'm not saying they shouldn't get some of it without tax. Sure, let's say $5 million. But shouldn't we be able to tax just a couple of percent? Everything over five? No, right now, that is not the tax code that the MAGA movement wants. And what they did pass in the big brutal bill is the largest redistribution of wealth from working poor people in this country to the wealthiest of the wealthiest of the wealthiest. The poorest tenth, in other words, the bottom 10% of people in our country who don't have any dollars to lose, who are barely hanging on by their fingernails. The total impacts of the big brutal bill, it's going to cost them around $2,600 per year. They're going to lose income. The richest tenth, they're going to gain $7,200. And here's the trick about that. Dollars also have diminishing marginal returns. If you've never heard this phrase, it's pretty easy to understand. It's a fancy pants economics term. Diminishing marginal return. What does that mean? It means that if you're poor, every $100 has a relatively huge impact. Increase in $100 has a relatively huge impact on your family's well-being. Likewise, the loss of $100 has a relatively huge negative impact on your family's well-being. But when you're sitting on a pile of $432 billion, you get $100, you're like, ugh. That's what falls out of my pocketbook. Wealth in and of itself has a diminishing marginal return to the wealth holder. You can only buy so much stuff. Remember the first car you ever got? How important that was to you? Maybe it was your first bicycle. Maybe you had to save for it. That has a huge impact on your life, on your well-being, on your thinking, on your mental outlook. But when the richest of the rich, with their names on buildings, passing down generations of wealth to kids who will never have to work, when they buy their 10th Rolls Royce, do you think it has the same value to the person or the family whose car just broke down and they need to get to work and their kids to school and they don't have transportation? That is the concept of diminishing marginal returns. It is okay for us to talk about wealth in those terms. Again, the big brutal bill has robbed from the poor to give welfare to the wealthiest. It is the anti-Robin Hood bill. And the shutdown, though it seems unrelated, it's the result of that kind of brutality as a core policy objective from the MAGA movement, right? The government is shut down now because Democrats are responding on one small thing to the brutality of that bill. That is Americans' ability to access healthcare, not in a perfect system, in a system that needs incredible reforms, but it's the system that we've got right now. It's the system that people need to access right now in order to have healthcare for themselves and their family. So the brutality of the MAGA policy machine is reserved only for working people. It exhibits no brutality for those that don't need the tax cut. It gives more welfare to the wealthiest. It gives them handout after handout while turning the eye of judgment and disdain and this concept of deserving on the poorest among us and on the middle class. If we are a country that believes in bootstraps and hard work and a work ethic, if we're a state known for our work ethic, then why in gosh name do we continue to focus our brutality, our judgment, our moral condemnation on those that have fallen on hard times, while those that reap the benefits without working a day from the wealth created generations before get nothing but the best and more handouts? It is unconscionable. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side. Join us. What do you think about the Senate Democrats' compromise position? 1 year of an extension of ACA subsidies and a challenge to Republicans to put forward their health care reform plans. Join me. Let's debate it on the other side. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.